Woof woof woof.
It's kind of hard to wear high heels or slip on banana peels. How does she get in and out of tubs? I hope she don't get mad. I hope she thinks this song is good, not bad. 'Cause we think that she's totally rad, she's nuts.
She's got no funny bones, she's nuts.
No shoes for feet, but here do you think she needs? She's nuts, she's nuts, she's nuts.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Drunk Film Commentary. That was some no effects with
that was the best intro ever.
I was thinking of, you know, what songs fit Lord.
It's great.
What we're talking about.
Top notch, sir.
So, and this is what came to me. So, because we're talking top five amputations in film.
Dismemberments or missing limbs.
Yeah, just good old. Well, you know, we just watched Evil Dead 2.
We did.
And that's a great.
Phenomenal.
And we're trying to think of a top five to go along with that movie.
Right. Doesn't have to be
and
him.
And we're like, what do we do? And we thought of amputation, so we went with it. Right. And I thought the list came out pretty good.
It was easier than I thought it would be to come up with movies where there was featured amputations. It didn't have to be a real... The person in real life did not have to be amputated. Their character had to be missing a limb at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was pretty quick.
All right. Well, you know what? I mean, tomorrow's my fucking birthday, and I got shit to do, and I'm already drunk. So let's get this fucking show started.
Right. Happy birthday,
sir.
Woo!
Let's fucking drink.
Birthday.
Let's drink now.
I'm going to start out with my number five.
What is your number five?
Nate, do you have shots?
I can make shots.
Yes. Okay, you make shots while I talk about number
five. Talks about his number five.
My number five is from... Fuck, I don't have the fucking year. God damn it. What the fuck? Oh, Nate's fucking running the shit. It's from 2010. There we go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's our good friend Crispin Glover in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Nate, do you remember Hot Tub Time Machine? I don't really...
You never saw it?
I vaguely.
Oh.
I feel like it was on the TV, but I wasn't paying close attention.
It's John Cusack and the black guy from The Office.
I know I watched.
And they made a sequel.
The sequel is horrible, but
I never watched
the first one was okay. It's a time travel movie that go back to the 80s, so...
Right. Everyone remembers the 80s fondly.
Yeah, I'm kind of a sucker for time travel like movies like that,
I
you know?
All time travel.
Yeah, they go to a Poison concert.
Oh.
So...
I've been to a Poison
Well, Poison
concert.
Comes to the place where they're playing at. They're at a ski lodge. But anyway, you don't know the movie, though.
Mm-mm.
The group, in the present day, there's the door guy that works at Crispin Glover. His name's Phil, and he doesn't have an arm.
Oh.
And they go back in time to the 80s, and they're back in the same place, and there's Phil working
Does
with
he
the
have
arm.
The arm?
Yes. So they're waiting for these moments when it's going to fucking happen. Because Phil's out there with a chainsaw carving ice sculptures and things like that and flipping his chainsaw in the air. And they're like, oh, here it comes. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. They're waiting for the fucking amputation to come.
But
it doesn't. And he's in the elevator. His arm gets stuck out of the elevator. And oh, here it comes. Here it comes. No, it doesn't come. I'm not going to ruin it and tell you if they see it or not. You have to watch it yourself. But it's funny.
Nevertheless, he ends up with an amputation.
Well,
in the future.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. Well... I mean, you have to see the movie, actually.
I will. I'm going to have to sit
down. It's a good one. It's, yeah.
Stay awake for that one, kid.
Yeah, I'm sure it's out there. So that's my number five is Hot Tub Time Machine. Who's up next?
My number five. Yeah. And my number five has been seen by everybody on the planet ever.
Yeah.
It's from 1994. It was so popular it was on Laserdisc. Because that's where I remember watching it in my friend's living room on Laserdisc.
Oh, nice.
I also saw it in the theater. While I ate frosting out of a can, because I was a classy lady. It was Forrest Gump.
Wait, you brought frosting in a can
I
to the
bought,
theater?
Yes, I did, because we were teenagers. That's what you did in eighth grade.
Frosting?
Frosting. Straight up frosting.
We got like little Debbie's
no,
and shit.
No, we just went...
We had cake with frosting.
We had pixie sticks and frosting. We went hardcore. We went like fat kid zooted. And, and my friend got in trouble, got yelled at by the usher because she made the sex noises. And it was Forrest Gump. And as we all remember, Lieutenant Dan lost his legs in the war, but Forrest saved him. And so he lived instead of dying a glorious death like all his former family members before him. But he lived and he became a shrimp boat.
I still haven't seen that movie, Back to Front.
Yeah, I know. Every time I try to show you, you fall asleep. It's a it's an American classic. Everyone loves Tom Hanks in that movie. Like,
you know, if you like Tom Hanks, you'll like the movie.
If you like Tom Hanks in really long movies that are not factual about history, you will love Forrest Gump.
It's not supposed to be factual. It's supposed to be a representation of that generation that grew up in that time period, because he kind of participates in every little element of history.
He does.
So that's what Forrest Gump is symbolic of. Of like the entire generation, he kind of did everything.
You learned a lot from him.
Started from the bottom, fought his way up, and things like that. But
and he's borderline. He was borderline mentally retarded. He was like 5 points above like retreading tires.
He just got lucky in everything.
Super special.
He wasn't special. He was lucky.
No, his mom got lucky. She banged the principal so that he didn't have to go to special needs school.
I love Sally Field.
She was great in that movie. She went above and beyond to make sure her boy was middle of the road.
She made him middle of the road
so good.
By the way,
great.
My Name is Doris, the new movie with Sally Field.
Uh-huh.
Highly recommend it.
I haven't seen that yet.
She's this quirky old lady who gets a crush on this like 30-something-year-old dude.
Did
he was on the My Girl show.
Did they bang?
Well, you have to watch it and see.
I will. I'll watch anything with Sally Field.
Yeah, she's like this quirky, crazy little old lady that, you know, works in this office. And yeah, I highly recommend that. But I have a thing for Sally Field, so.
Right. So Forrest Gump, so Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan. And there's this scene
in the movie specifically where Lieutenant Dan and Forrest are on a shrimp boat together. And there's a wicked storm. And Lieutenant Dan and his nubs are up on the top of the crow's nest. And he's fighting the sea with his nubs.
He's
just fucking fighting it. And he's like, fuck you, nature, I will prevail. And then they get all the shrimp they ever got. And then
he has a death wish.
He's pissed because Forrest saved him.
I'd be pissed if I lost my legs,
too. This is seriously what happens?
Right, seriously. But then it gets better, right? Forrest, it takes the money from being a shrimp boat captain and invests in fruit. Apple computers, but he thinks it's fruit. He invests in fruit, and then him and Lieutenant Dan are fucking millionaires, and life goes good. Life is splendid. And then he gets magic legs. He gets,
titanium, just like they put on the space shuttle.
That's right. And so then he walks to Forrest's wedding to Jenny. It was a magical moment in cinema
history. Jenny
sucks. Jenny was a fucking whore. Jenny slutted her way across America like a hippie bitch. And then after she got knocked up, named her fucking would-be child after Forrest. And was like, I have AIDS. Raise our son. I'm dying now. And that was how the movie ended. It was kind of a bummer how it ended. Right. Forrest got a kid, but no love because his love was a giant
kid
whore.
Is his kid.
Yeah, the Sixth Sense. Right. And he has like a bowl haircut and he's like, I'm Forrest Gump Jr. And you're just, but he's so smart. He ain't like Forrest. He ain't
stupid. And
you're
just crying at the
end.
You're
just like, oh my God, Jenny's dead. He's got this special needs person that's to raise his child alone and it's the South. So he's gonna, and I'm scared. And then it was over and Sally Field was dead. It was pretty.
I gotta watch
this. It was a long movie.
All that brutality.
But for my number five, Lieutenant Dan for Forrest Gump is my favorite amputee.
Wow.
He's very versatile.
My number five is going to come in a little under the radar. All
right, let's hear it, Nate.
Revenge of the Sith, 2005. Obi-Wan taking out Anakin Skywalker's at least three limbs.
Yeah, it was legs and
at least
and
two.
A hand.
Two confirmed.
That's crossover right here.
Yeah?
I had that on my list, yep.
We couldn't do the best.
I think we all breathed a sigh of relief when Obi-Wan was like, I have the high ground.
He's like, I know your tricks, bitch.
And he came at him and he's like, slice, slice, slice.
Slice, slice. I know
you,
Anakin.
Fucked him up. And
he's like, I hate you. And we're like,
we're not friends anymore.
Deal with it, buddy.
I'm unfriending you.
Well, when we first came up with this idea, we were thinking we could make a whole five all Star Wars movies.
Just Star Wars,
So we decided, we can do one for a Star Wars movie.
You get one. Everybody gets one.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm glad you picked that.
Well,
that's
why I didn't want to go with Empire right away. I figured, Revenge of the Sith, you know.
Revenge of the Sith is badass. That's how Darth Vader comes about. That's the moment.
And it shows Obi-Wan on a whole nother level.
Why
like
he kill
has
him?
To destroy his own Padawan. You know, Obi-Wan. But you know what though? Because fuck you, Anakin. You killed younglings, you bitch.
He didn't even have time to kill him. He was like, I'm just gonna let you burn here on this volcanic mountain and just
yeah.
Burn
why didn't he give him a mercy killing?
He's so mean.
But you wanna why? Because then there wouldn't have been a part 4 and 5 and 6.
He's like, Darth Vader,
Anakin, you were my brother.
Yeah,
so I won't kill you right now.
I'll let you burn. Yeah, that's...
Now, let's talk about how he feels about sand people, because fuck them all. Right? Mothers and children, it doesn't matter.
That's a good number 4, Revenge of the Sith. I agree. I'm with you.
Number 4? For you?
My number 4? Is it my turn? Yes.
Yes.
Well, that was your number 5?
That was my 5.
Okay, great. My number 4 is Tusk.
Oh, yes. Okay, so this is a Kevin Smith horror film.
Yeah, we all saw this. This is one of the movies we had to drive.
One of the few that actually liked this movie.
I liked it, too.
I cried a little on the inside.
You cried a little on the outside, too. This movie made you cry.
Okay, so here's the thing. This movie opens up with Justin Long going to visit an old man and have a nice conversation. Well, I work in healthcare.
Everybody knows it's about a dude that gets turned into a walrus.
Right. But the thing is, in the beginning, he's having a sweet conversation with this nice old person.
Michael Parks.
And the old person, who is dead now.
Rest in peace.
He was amazing.
I'll think
actor.
Michael Parks, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's better in Red State.
But here's the thing.
He's still badass in this.
Do you know how many times in real life I've gone into an old person's house and I've drank in their tea and I could have woken up a walrus? Do you know in my career? It's frightened the shit out of me. It was so real. It was jumping off the pages. Like if any of these old women did not have dementia, I could be a walrus right now.
You could.
It was frightening.
And this one doesn't actually show the amputation. They show
when
Wallace wakes up. He wakes up and they're in that room, just him and...
They just show, some books of anatomy and then, some rough sketches of how he came up with how to take out the limbs.
Before that, Michael Parks just tells him it was a spider bite.
Oh, that's right.
And he tells him that. He says, you're going to be fine. And, the doctor's making his rounds. And Michael Parks is fucking excellent. It's fucking insane. Justin Long's not too bad either. Yeah. But he gives him the shit, and we know later on Tusk gets turned into a fucking walrus. This is the first
Justin Long connection we were talking about earlier about Sam Raimi in The Evil Dead 2 that we watched previous to this.
And then
he was in Drag Me to Hell, which is also Sam Raimi. He was the boyfriend, and there was the whole button coin mix up.
Drag Me to Hell's good.
Drag Me to Hell was really.
That's not a bad film.
A movie you expect from the guy who did Evil Dead 2, 10, 15 years later.
That's a movie you want to watch.
And that one got away with a PG-13 rating.
Really? With the goat murder.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
That's another reason why I don't know how it got a fucking
The times they are a-changing.
Yeah.
You know,
Sorry. Black magic isn't scary enough.
It's not. Not without blood and gore and titties.
Right.
Unless they're saying fucking...
But I think number 4 is Tusk. I think it's good. It's decent.
And definitely
Kevin Smith's definitely doing something different.
Morphation. Like, he did not... Not only did he amputate limbs from Justin Long in the movie, he took those limbs and then, shaved them down and mutated them to skin graft and bone graft them back into his body.
Doesn't he use his, legs to make it the tusk?
The tusk,
yeah. His leg bone.
Oh, here's your tibia.
You see that all laid out and drawn out and stuff like that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Tusk was a pretty decent movie for what it is.
That definitely made your list. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it completely.
So that's my number 4.
And I was traumatized completely. My number 4, on a happier note, is 1996, A Happy Gilmore. In Happy Gilmore, he's a mentor, Chubbs. Chubbs, who is a former golf winner, who now lost his hand to an alligator.
Yes.
And so he is a prosthetic wooden hand that the slapstick and comedically keeps getting destroyed over and over again. and then Happy, which is Adam Sandler, go ahead and he finally kills the crocodile alligator or whatever.
He's only in one eye, right? Or something?
Only in one eye. He killed it. And he presented the head to Chubbs, and then Chubbs fell out the window comically, and then his hand fell off again. And then in the funeral, you even see Happy, shake his wooden hand.
Broken,
high-five it. It's glued back together. So that's one of my favorite amputees. Right away, you're thinking off the top of your head, movies where you see an amputee. Right away, Chubbs came out, And then later on, Chubbs also, he cameoed in Little Nicky, which was another Adam Sandler movie, where he was teaching Gwyneth Paltrow, who is Happy's mom, who was an angel, who fucked the devil.
Another movie I have not seen.
Where Chubbs brings back his pivotal line, "It's all in the hips. It's all in the hips."
Holy
so
crap.
Chubbs gets a lot of action in the internet on the television.
It was Carl Weathers as Chubbs in Little Nicky, really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's all in the hips.
Wow. Nice. Yeah.
Right.
So
my number four is Happy Gilmore. Chubbs is
that's a good one. That's
Wooden Hand.
I didn't even think of that one. That's a good pick. Good pick.
I'm a child of the 90s.
Hey.
All right. Nate, what's your number four?
My number four comes from Freddy versus Jason. It's when Jason actually rips Freddy's arms off.
Oh, yeah.
And pushes it through his chest. And I guess finally gives him one of his... The first death blow of three.
That's a little more visceral than my picks.
That's a good flick, though.
It's
Freddy vs. Jason.
I don't know. I have a problem with Freddy vs. Jason when he's banging the camp counselor and then she goes limp and it gets a little date rapey for me. That's the only
that
scene in the
gross,
and then the like the weed scene that turns a little too green and hyponic and like you know like caterpillar-esque.
I love Freddy vs. Jason because they took every stereotype that was going on. Then they had the J dude.
I
they
like
had the
it.
Jack Black dude. They had the black guy.
Yeah,
they had
there's all that.
Token.
Yeah.
They had like every
like
little element.
Character.
Yeah, and they were totally blatant ripoffs. So he's kind of let it go. It's Freddy versus Jason.
I liked it because it's kind of a sequel of Dream Warriors.
You're
because
like
they reintroduced the Hypnosil, and they bring back that storyline from the Dream Warriors.
That
movie.
Was a good piece. Yeah, that was a good part of the
That's
story.
That's why I liked that movie so much. That's why it's...
Yeah, it's all right. The way they mix it together, I thought they did fine with it.
It's really cool.
For what
I mean,
what it's supposed to be, they did a great job, you know? What
it's
do you,
a lot
what do you
of
expect?
Fun.
It's Freddy versus Jason.
Everything
you
want to see in a horror movie. But Freddy versus Jason, that's my number four.
Speaking of Evil Dead, they've done Freddy versus Jason versus Ash cockbooks, something like that, right?
We have those.
Yes.
We do own those, Nathan.
Yeah.
I read all those.
You do.
How many of those they put out? Like a bunch or what? I mean,
no, it was a
series.
It was a series.
It's like a limited series.
Like, what,
there
10?
Was two series, like six each.
Yeah.
So what happens? Have you read them?
Nate.
It's
Ash
not,
versus Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah.
Somehow they end up at camp.
No one really ends, right?
It's just
it's not. Nobody wins.
Jason's
everybody dies.
Freddy's a worshipper of the Necronomicon.
Clearly, how else would he come back? Over?
Let's say nobody wins.
Nice.
Everybody dies. Nobody wins.
Yeah,
it's a classic.
Maybe they should bring that to Stars. You know.
That'd be a great. That
would
be a
great. We would all sign up for Stars for free on our Fire Sticks.
Well, we got the. Freddy Ash versus Evil
versus
Dead.
Jason versus Ash. Come on.
Freddy versus Jason. Yeah.
That's a good pick. Good pick.
It's not terrible.
I didn't even think of that one either. That's another one that got past my radar. That's a good one.
All right.
Cool.
What about your number four?
I did my number four. My turn, number three.
Number three.
My number three is when I started thinking of amputation, I thought of this character right away because she does a lot of amputations throughout this two movies that she's in. And I looked it up. I started, you know, doing a little research. I'm like, there's got to be something badass. And I found the one. I was like, oh, yeah, this is it. And it's from 2004 with Kill Bill when the bride faces off against Lucy Liu, her Oren. They face off and they're fighting out there in the snow. And the bride, which is, what the fuck's her name?
Beatrix Kiddo.
No, but I mean the actress.
Uma Thurman.
Uma. She's going at, she's, takes off the top of her head.
Oh, she scalps her.
Yeah.
Just the tip.
Chops
just
it
the
right
tip.
Off,
yeah,
and her head
great.
Flies off.
And then she just sits there and she's like, that really is that sword.
Hattori Hanzo sword.
A Hanzo sword, that's right.
That really is a Hattori Hanzo sword. And she falls over.
Serious shit.
And she, it
the
happens.
Snow.
Yeah,
it's a
outside
scene.
In the snow. It's an awesome scene. And it's cool because during the fight, there's no, like, other music. It's just them going at it. The music doesn't start until after she's
swords.
Already like chopped up.
That's right.
That's when the music kicks in then. So that's great filmmaking. Then in the snow is fucking badass.
Right.
And I'm glad I found that one.
Black Mamba versus the Deadly Viper, right?
Yeah.
It's
badass.
That's great.
Kill Bill.
That is one that escaped me when I was doing this.
Nice.
But
that's just the one bead of blood that comes on.
But beautifully my number three.
Yeah.
Is Planet Terror, which is a Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino crossover, like, double feature.
Yes.
And so the Planet Terror is more Robert Rodriguez, but, you know, there was still Tarantino influence in his Rose McGowan.
He did Dead Proof, the other part of the
And Rodriguez did Planet Terror. And that featured Rose McGowan as Cherry Darling. And Cherry Darling is missing a leg.
The machine gun. Hell
right,
yeah.
And in lieu of her leg is the machine such a gun. Good time. It is, it is. Just her lifting the leg to be like... It's classic. Like,
that's
when
awesome.
You think of amputees, there's nobody better than Cherry Darling. Like, she's an amputee who will fuck you up. You know what I mean?
Nice. Hell yeah.
So, that was, you know, in that same line of thinking. Apparently, Tarantino really knows his amputee.
He does.
I guess so.
He's
he
the really master does.
Well,
of
that
it.
Wasn't Tarantino. That was
Robert
Rodriguez.
Right.
Tarantino
also did,
Proof.
They're buddies.
Right, but there was a double feature together.
Well... It's funny because you bring up Planet Terror because I had that in my fucking runner-ups. Yeah.
Oh, they didn't make it.
But
didn't
it was
make it.
Together as a duo because I think Death Proof has the better amputation scene. If you remember when they're driving in the car and the chick has her leg hanging out the car and they're listening to music and they're playing and fucking Kurt Russell's coming at him in his fucking car and you know what's going to fucking happen. And she had her leg fucking just hanging out there fucking bopping to the music and you know what's going to fucking happen. And
she's
sure enough,
oblivious.
Fucking the car crash happens, kabam, you see the leg fucking fly through the air. That was, I think, the better scene.
Right.
I think Planet Terror did better things with it. You know,
right,
they
made the most of their amputation.
Yeah, I think that's the more memorable by far. But I thought the Death Proof one, because, well, I prefer that movie over Planet Terror anyway.
Right.
But
you two, actually, I had to work that day, and the two of you went and saw the double feature without me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
That's okay, though. I made the best of it.
They still don't have, like, the DVD copy of
Avoid
the whole thing.
Large soda.
With
like, the Thanksgiving trailer in between. Like, all the awesome...
We saw all that shit.
The SS Women of the...
You guys
whatever.
Spent a lot of time in the theater that day.
Yes,
you
we did.
You made the best of
goodness.
It.
Yes, we did.
I still have my Thanksgiving shirt.
You do? That's awesome.
Come early, leave stuff. Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
That was by the hospital guy, right?
Yes.
Eli
Roth.
Who
was also in Inglorious Bastards, which was by Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It all comes around to that fucking
full
guy.
Full circle.
Yeah.
All right, Nate, what about your number three?
My number three? Well, let's give it to a boy named Kevin from the movie Sin City. this guy Marv cut off his arms and legs and let a German Shepherd just chew on him. It's brutality and it's finest. I mean, how could you?
That's in my runners up.
Really?
I mean,
it was.
I mean, that's number three here.
Yeah, I got no words for that. That's great. And in comic book lore,
Elijah Wood.
Yeah. Sin City had some pretty rough parts.
Sin
to
City,
it.
The whole movie was kind of like you cringe. From the Valkyries to. I mean, there wasn't a part where you felt
and
safe.
And this was probably.
Was that not as bloody as Evil Dead 2?
But with the black and white and the splatter,
the
black and white changed everything because the blood was yellow in some of the scenes. And
well, that was rated R, though.
It was rated R.
Yeah. This movie was rated R.
Yeah, that was a good flick. The second one was.
I haven't seen the second one.
Oh, really?
If I watched it, I probably fell asleep watching it.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
They
the first
it right
one's
the first
so
time.
Good, though.
They did.
But that scene with Elijah Wood just.
Right. Well, he really earned it.
With a
it.
Smile on his face as the wolves are just chewing at him. And he's just,
then he went on to do things like Wilbur, which another movie or another TV show where he's just... I think Elijah Wood really has issues.
That's
he's just not talking about...
That's the kid from Back to the Future.
Elijah Wood?
No, the guy on Wilbur. That's the guy from...
No, Elijah Wood was in Back to the Future 2 for a split second.
No, Elijah Wood was on the TV show Wilbur, the one where
he
the
was?
Dog talks to him. Yeah, he's the main character.
He's also in Back to the Future, too.
He is. Who is he in Back to the Future 2?
Oh,
he's one
Wilbur.
Of the kids playing the video game in the 80s diner when Marty walks in. And there's those two kids playing the game, and they said, oh, that's a kid's game.
He
that's
was
a
also,
baby's game.
He was also
say.
In The Good Son, where he was the
with Macaulay
nephew.
Culkin.
Right, and Macaulay Culkin's mom chose to drop him and save Elijah Wood, because Elijah Wood was the less or
Macaulay
of two
Culkin was
evils.
The bad son.
Right, and Macaulay Culkin.
That's my number three. That's brutality at its best.
That was a pretty shocking kind of movie, actually. or back then. But all right, so Nadia, what's your?
Jason? What's yours? What's your number two?
You can do your number three.
Yeah, my number three is Planet Terror, isn't it?
Oh. What's your number four?
Happy Gilmore.
Okay. Oh, okay. I guess we start with my number two.
You're number two.
My number two was Revenge of the Sith. Anakin getting fucked up by Obi-Wan.
Yep.
Wah, 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 wah. You have no arms and legs.
Because you are a show-off.
I should have done this to you fucking 10 minutes ago, but...
You are.
This is why we didn't do the usual bet. The usual bet is do we bet to see if any of our top five overlap? But there was some collusion because Nate and I lived together and we kind of couldn't
help
each other's lists. You know what I mean?
Well, you could have.
But here's the thing, though. Nate and I don't overlap, but Jason and Nate do. What does that
say? We got one. Just one.
Everybody gets one.
So far. Well, we haven't said two more. Yeah,
your number ones.
Yes. Yeah. So like Nate said earlier... Revenge of the Sith is the best Star Wars amputation because that's what fucking creates Darth Vader, you know? That's obvious.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, the other ones are badass. The one in Mos Eisley
Cantina. Three limbs, one hit.
Yeah.
Enough said. I just like how he was like, don't. Because he fucking knew what he was going to do.
He
fled out. He was like, don't.
Don't
fuck around. I know your shit. You little shits.
Right, exactly.
Anybody who watched the Clone Wars knows how much shit Anakin fucking gave Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan is a patient teacher. He's like, you're not even supposed to be my kid. You're supposed to be Qui-Gon's. Qui-Gon fucked around. You know, Obi-Wan was just making the best of a bad situation, but he couldn't fucking let his game slip because that kid was mouthy.
Obi-Wan probably still has the highest kill count of any character.
For a guy
Star
who
Wars.
Lives on a desert island and does nothing.
What about the Death Star?
Well...
How many nameless soldiers died didn't see? How many? We didn't even see. Those are off screen deaths.
So, okay, Nate, number two.
No, me.
Number two.
I'm on my number two.
Nadia, number two.
My number two. Who does number two work for? Number two is the movie from 1996. Again, my childhood comes a-calling. Kingpin, featuring the Lord
shit.
Bill Murray and
Damn.
Woody Harrelson. Woody Harrelson, he recruits who is it? It's a Quaid.
Randy.
Randy Quaid to be his Mormon bowler because he lost his hand in a tragic bowling accident.
He's going to coach him.
Right, so he's going to coach. So Woody Harrelson, who has a wooden, again, another prosthetic hand. So Woody Harrelson has a prosthetic hand, but he's a champion bowler. So now Randy Quaid is the bowler who's going to precede him, but Bill Murray is the douchebag reigning champion. But here's the thing, like Woody Harrelson, his name is Roy Munson, and throughout the whole movie, whenever you fuck up, you're pulling a Munson. And so that became a thing, like, in my childhood, my teenage years in the early 2000s, like, oh, you're fucking pulling a Munson. Like, if you fuck something up in life, it became a reference, a movie reference. Oh. I really enjoyed Kingpin.
Woody Harrelson was fucking awesome in that.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was. Woody Harrelson, you know, he's either hit or miss. Zombieland, he's beautiful. Kingpin, he's beautiful. I enjoyed
he's
him.
Actually
you know, he's
actually just what he's supposed to be
he's
in
a lot
everything,
of fun.
Though. I mean, what has he been bad in, really?
There's just some movies that are just campier than others.
Well, I mean, he was Larry Flint. He did good. He's going to be in the Han Solo movie. So, hey.
He was even in the those movies with the girl who shoots the bow and arrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The
Hunger Games.
He was in the Hunger Games. He was like a protege mentor relationship in the Hunger Games. Yeah. So, but I enjoyed him as a one-armed bowler in Kingpin. That's my number two.
And Bill Murray in a fucking... Classic
yeah, Randy
fucking
Quaid.
Scene.
I mean, Chris Elliott. There's a lot
Bill Murray
of
has an awesome
fun.
Character.
There's a lot of fun characters in that movie.
Bill Murray,
classic 90s movie.
Character actor or whatever he does in Zombieland.
He's
with him in that too.
Right?
Yeah.
He's always awesome. He's just right. Bill Murray.
Do you just think that Woody Harrelson and Bill Murray just get so stoned together?
Like, they have to, right?
They have to because why else would they keep showing up in all
Let's
these fucking films
movie.
Together?
I mean, come on.
Let's do another movie together. It's just...
Bill, I'm doing the zombie
That's
thing.
That's a great idea. Oh, my God, but you do that movie, but zombie movie.
I mean, come on. You see those two together, what's the first thing you would do? I mean,
hey,
you're in a room with Bill Murray and Woody Harrelson.
We're going to have a good time.
Next?
You offer Bill Murray chips.
Chaos ensues.
I have tortilla chips, sir.
You don't shoot Bill Murray in the chest. That's what we learned. Because
yeah.
He's just pretending to be a zombie.
You don't shoot anybody.
You offer him chips. So.
That's right. So that's my number two. That Nate, what about you? Who does the number two work for you?
Number two. What do I do with number two? All right.
What did you do with number two?
I'm going to go with Reservoir Dogs, Mr. Blonde.
Oh.
He cuts the cop's ear off.
Oh, shit.
Forever changing the way I look at the song Stuck in the Middle with You.
Yeah. Who is that? What's that actor's name who cuts the ear off?
I forget. What is it?
What's his name, Jason?
Michael Madsen.
There you go, Michael Madsen, right. Who he's also in Kill Bill, right? He's the brother.
Yeah.
Who shoots Beatrice and then fucking buries her alive.
After that, how can you forget that song?
Right. You can't. That's great. He's like, oh, I'm just going to chop your ear off now. That's a great amputation.
That's a great pick.
He didn't need that ear.
He didn't.
Marvin Nash?
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody get to pick their names.
That is just such a great...
Steve Buscemi's Mr. Pink.
Because you're a faggot, all right?
I don't tip. I just don't. I don't believe in it.
Yeah, that's a crossover.
Someday people should... We'll do this to the podcast, just Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs is the podcast?
We'll just talk about Reservoir Dogs for an hour and a half.
It could happen.
Well, Ted the Bellhop, you know, he didn't mean to be a cop, and he didn't mean to fall in love, but he did. He fell in love with the wolf.
Yeah, so number two.
We should just do a Tarantino night. I mean, I feel like as far as everything that shapes us,
we have not done a Tarantino film yet.
Amputations.
But we somehow managed to bring him up every time.
Well, amputations and dismemberment.
Well,
Tarantino.
Yeah, right. It's hard to not mention his name. And we all have something in there.
He's quintessential. The master of our time.
Yeah, he is.
Nice.
All right, Jason. Rounding out your number one.
That was my number one right there.
Your number one?
Reservoir Dogs.
For real?
Sweet.
So you two overlap twice.
Marvin Nash and...
very nice.
And I didn't overlap with either of you.
Nice.
You guys, your friendship is very special, the two of you. Friendship is rare.
We love the ultra violence.
Do you know what I'm saying?
We don't hear Beethoven.
No?
The same.
Okay, but I had Kingpin, and you guys didn't even think of that. I blew your mind.
That's true.
All right, so my number one, since your number one was the same as Nate's.
True.
Your number one was his number
two. Actually, that was my number two.
My number one
was... Well, wait, should we take a quick break and come back to your number ones?
Oh, bum, bum, bum.
My number one's kind of disappointing.
What's your number one?
Can't say.
It's Evil Dead 2.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got a feeling there's something right. I'm too scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me.
Have you noticed that Nate talks more during the song than the entire show?
cover that song. Stuck in the middle with you. I'm trying to get her to find songs in her vocal range. Because we both have a tendency to enjoy sopranos, but really we are both alto to tenor range. We had to find things in our wheelhouse. It's hard.
Well, what's the name of your band?
Boobs and More Boobs, Bamb.
Can you find you on Twitter?
No, not yet.
You're on the Facebooks?
No. We're on my living room couch.
I love that website. Subscribe to their blog.
NadiasLivingRoomCouch.com. Bamb, yes. Boobs and More Boobs. Clearly Jolene is More Boobs.
They're all searching for that right now.
That's our joke. Yeah.
We are top five. Down to
number one.
Nadia, what is your number one?
Well, we talked about your number one, Jason. Yours number one was the same as Nate's number two.
Yeah, we just played the song.
We did. It was a good
song. That
was
a live break we did.
Really?
That was totally live.
Oh, shit.
I didn't ever stop recording. I just...
People love that song, though.
And Nate talked more during the song than he does entire
both
episode.
Both shows, yes. Okay, so let's move along to my number one.
Yes.
My number one, as a true nerd, I couldn't resist. I had to go with The Empire Strikes Back. I had to.
Naturally.
You guys already referenced Star Wars before, and a show doesn't go by where we don't reference Star Wars because it is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
But Empire Strikes Back, so when you see... Darth Vader chop off Luke Skywalker's hand and he's holding his nub and then he's like, I am your father. And he's like, no, that's impossible. And then he goes down the air shaft and then, you know, Leia senses him and saves him. It's a big deal, right? And so I could have said Empire. I could have said Return of the Jedi where the stub has been replaced by a biomechanic, you know, hand that is now fully functional again, so he can
continue. When he beats down his dad,
wielding.
No, but the scene where
but
you're talking
Empire
about
is a
an Empire,
it's a huge deal.
Well, yeah, it's definitely a huge deal because you see, you know, Vader is just fucking with Luke the whole time.
Right, he could have just killed
him
at any point. He's like, let's eat dinner together.
But then they get outside. They get out there. And then Luke gets a little smack on him. He gets him in the shoulder and fucking pisses Vader off. Vader's
right.
like, oh, fuck
Vader's
you.
Vader's like, oh.
Takes it and fucking just fucks his shit up with, like, one hand. Takes the fucking hand off and boom, like that.
Right.
And
checks
then,
him. Checks
and,
him.
And we're watching this. I'm a fucking, you know, 6-year-old kid, like, going, holy fuck.
Right.
And fucking he takes it off and it's like, oh, shit, Vader's fucking got him. He's fucking done. And then they drop the fucking bomb on you after that.
Right, after
that.
Vader's like, I'm gonna take your fucking sword hand.
Yeah, he's already got,
done.
Okay, you got no lightsaber, you got no hand,
right.
You're fucking fucked.
Yeah, by the way.
Best movie
you are
ever.
My seed, motherfucker. Yeah, it's devastating. And when you think of amputees and then he goes on to the next movie, you know, and
he's
really,
a badass.
But,
right away.
But he's gotta get that hand. You don't know how much time passed. They're very, they're
yeah,
not,
3 months.
But he had a lot of time practicing with that hand, didn't he? That's all he did was sit on a fucking ship.
That's all Luke Skywalker needed.
He's in that cave. What's he going to do? For the deleted scene?
Jerk off and practice sword fighting.
I thought you were talking about practicing his hand movements.
He was strong with the Force. But that was my number one. It had to be. I mean, come on. When you think of amputations besides Lieutenant Dan.
I thought of that one.
A lot of people... I was out at the bar and I was taking a survey. I was asking
Empire
everybody.
Empire is the ultimate.
I was asking everybody, you know, when you think
did
of a movie.
Did you bring back the results
their
of your
amputation.
Survey?
I did. Well, a survey, you when you survey 15 drunk people at the bar at Hattricks, on 60th Street, Kenosha, $5 Tuesday. 245
60th Street. That's what Justin Time would say. You would say the address.
That's right. $5 all you can drink Tuesday
Nobody's
night.
Listening.
I asked them. And they all said Forrest Gump, followed by Empire.
Wow.
So those were my top two from strangers in public.
All right. Are they new subscribers to Drunk Film Commentary?
They fucking should be.
Did you show them on their phone how to do it? It's really easy.
No, I didn't. Next time I will.
I showed Jolene, and she's like, oh, my God, that's it?
I will just download it for them next time.
No, most phones have Google Play on them.
They do? I have that on my phone.
Well, then you can get our...
No way!
Where's your phone?
I'm going to do it right now.
Grab your phone.
I'm grabbing it.
Go to Google Play.
Hold on.
Everyone's listening to us already knows they're listening to it, but...
Way to go. You're ahead of me. Smarter than me, people. Okay.
So go to Google Play.
Google Play.
Are you on it?
And then...
then go to options and pick podcasts.
Podcasts.
There you go. Then go up to the search bar and punch in drunk film. Search.
Drunk.
Because that's all you need.
I have to spell drunk first, not well, skunk.
Yeah, drunk. D is with a D.
Film. I'm searching.
It should come right up on your podcast. Such. This is a great radio
it's
here.
It's harder for me because I've been drinking.
Who no.
Hey, it's free.
Yeah, it's
How
free.
How about that? Huh? All right. Nate, what about you? What's your number one while I look up drunk film commentary
my
on my
Google
My number
one
play?
Is the movie we watched tonight, Evil Dead 2.
No way.
And Ash in his hand.
Yeah.
He cut that thing off himself. And it was mad at him before that.
They tried to kill him several ways.
Tried to kill him.
Totally tried to kill him.
It was great. I mean, that man great. Smashed dishes against his head. Flipped himself over.
You can listen to us talk about Evil Dead 2 in the previous episode. You find us on wherever you found this episode. I'm sure you'll find the other one.
So I'm just saying Evil Dead, you know, you watch Ash beat the fuck out of himself with dishes and his own hand. And it hates him.
Nice.
When your hand goes bad, you have no choice but to chop it off.
Yeah. Get a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Just chop it off right at the wrist. All
right. Cool, cool.
That's the only remedy.
All right. Let's do a quick recap. Nadia, 5-1. Knock him out.
My number 5 was Forrest Gump. My number 4 was Happy Gilmore. Nice. My number 3 was Planet Terror. My number 2 was Kingpin. And my number 1 was our beloved Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back.
Nice. Nate, top 5. 5-1. Bring him out.
Use your words.
Number 5 was Freddy versus Jason.
Nice.
And then...
Number 4 was Sin City.
Sin City, cool.
That was
cool.
A great one. We didn't think of that one.
Oh, yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
Your number 3?
Number 3 was Reservoir Dogs.
Cool.
Right.
And number 2 was Revenge of the Sith.
Nice.
And then?
And number 1 was, of course, Evil Dead 2.
Very nice.
All the classics.
With Ash self amputating himself.
Yeah. The greater good.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what puts you at number 1, the self-amputation.
Right. Not that he was dismembered, but that he was self-dismembered.
He did himself.
Yeah.
He gets extra credit for
that. What's the clinical term for self-dismemberment?
I think it's called auto-dismemberment.
Really?
Huh.
Because you did it yourself.
Yeah.
I think so that's
proud.
The term for it.
That sounds right to
and
me.
And Jason, what were your top 5?
My top 5 was, number 5 was Hot Tub Time Machine. Just because Crispin Glover's a bitch, I like to see him get his arm chopped off. Number 4 was Kevin Smith's horror film, which, hey, it was what it was.
Tusk.
Number 3 was Kill Bill, taking off the top fucking Lucy Liu's head.
That was great.
Number 2 was the Star Wars classic from 2005, Revenge of the Sith. We don't call it Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith anymore.
It's
we kind
of
gave up
Revenge
on everything.
Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I think we kind of gave up on everything. The hard one's still A New Hope because it's still Star Wars.
I don't have to put Star Wars in front of any of those films to know what they are.
I usually call it, say it, Episode 4. That's usually, I don't call it a New Hope. I call everything else by its name, except for that one.
Really?
I don't really call it A New Hope. But, well, it's
Empire, Jedi. Yeah, that's true.
Episode 4.
It was what brought us all here to begin
4.
With.
But, so my number one was another one of Nate's, Marvin Nash getting his ear fucking lopped off in Reservoir Dogs.
Beautiful thing.
Sung to a Dylan-esque tune.
Stuck in the middle with you.
Which wasn't Dylan. It always sounded like
it
Dylan.
Felt like
oh,
Dylan.
Yeah. They were ripping off Dylan.
So
it was
hard.
Steeler's Wheel, yeah. They were totally ripping off Dylan. But they were not Dylan.
It's a great scene.
And do we have any, runners-up?
Runners-up.
Back to Clockwork Orange was singing in the rain.
No, but what were your runners-up?
You guys
what,
have any runners-up?
What movies didn't make the cut that you thought of that had amputation? Well, I had one. I don't remember what year it was. It's called Boxing Helena.
That was on my list too. Hell right. Yeah.
So there was this chick and this guy like kidnapped her, held her hostage, whatever.
Oh,
and he
she
like
was cute too.
Right.
What
and
was
she,
her name?
He slowly amputated like her legs and her arms.
I saw that movie.
And by the
Julian
end of the
Sands
movie,
was the bad guy.
Right. So by the end of the movie, she was nothing but like a fucking torso and a head in a box. And they never really showed him raping her, but you know, you got the feeling that he was being very untoward. And so it made Runner Up, because when I thought of amputees, that was one of the first movies that scarred me for life that I thought of. I was like, that's a movie my mom watched, and I didn't understand.
Sherilyn Fenn was the chick.
Was Helena?
Was the girl, yeah. She was the one with the crystal blue eyes.
Yeah, she was just so
like the Dario chick now. She has that thing going on. Same kind of look, but... yeah, Sherilyn Fenn. She was in Twin Peaks.
That was just like the first movie I thought of where they like just kept amputating people. Like she just lost a limb scene after scene. But I didn't really love that movie. You know, it wasn't like, you know, like Planet Terror, Kingpin, where you're like, oh, that's a lovable character. Like there's something going on there.
It was like, a movie that you saw back then. What year was this? Like early 90s?
Yeah, I literally saw it camping. Like I was camping and everybody else was watching that
early
movie.
Early mid-90s
or
so, I would guess.
Because that was on the VHS player at the campground.
It was a movie that you watched that was like, you know, you can almost put that in a similar category as Tusk.
Right, where you just don't know why they're giving you this on film. But it is.
And it is like
an
amputee. And it is more similar than I guess I initially thought.
Hella amputee.
Yeah, because it is.
Every other scene.
Very much similar, I guess, now that I actually think about the movie. But I was more thinking about how it is what you expect it to be. You know, a movie that...
Well, the name of the title was Boxing Helena.
Yeah.
And by the end of the movie, she was a fucking nub.
She was
going to
be a torso in a box.
Yeah.
You knew that.
You had an idea. You just didn't think she'd be so compliant. She's super compliant. Like,
that's
okay.
Great. What else did you have? Anything else?
No, that was Nate.
Nate, what'd you have for
anything?
Anything else that didn't make a list? That's close.
No, just a movie I didn't like where it happened.
Where?
Or The Dark World, where
there's a sequel.
It was Thor's sequel. Yeah, it was revealed Loki cut off Thor's hand. It didn't actually happen.
He was faking cutting off Thor's hand. He was using his Loki illusion. That was your runner up because it wasn't actually an amputee. It was a faux amputee.
It made me mad.
Right. And then, but what makes you even more mad than that? Because Thor's hand was still there, and you're like, cool, he can still bust some shit.
Yeah, I want to see the Thor.
Then Loki pretended to be dead, and Thor believed that shit when he just lied about his hand. And then he went on to pretend to be Odin.
Lies after lies, Marvel.
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
Then he pretended to be Odin, and everybody bought it.
I saw that movie, but maybe I didn't.
And we're going to go see it, and it's all going to tie
up in...
The third
one, Ragnarok.
Thor 3, Ragnarok, which comes out in November 2017.
We are bitches. Marvel.
We'll see you there.
DC's okay, but Marvel is our... They own our souls.
Does that turn you guys off? What the fuck? Come on. Reel it in a little bit.
That was his... What about you, Jason? Was there anything else on your runner-up list?
It's a late night.
Was there anything else on your runner-up list?
Yeah, I had a couple. Yeah.
What else, pal?
I had Saw from 2004.
Oh, yeah. Carrie Elwes. Yeah.
He has to cut his fucking foot off.
You have no idea that guy in the middle of the room is not dead the whole time till the end. You're like, holy fuck, that guy's been alive the whole time.
The first one was pretty...
Nobody touched him. Nobody checked for a pulse.
Well, they couldn't. They couldn't get to him.
No, they were just like, oh, there's a dead guy in the middle of the room. Everything's fucked.
It's like the most obvious horror movie ever.
When you get to the end, you're like, oh, shit, nobody checked for a pulse.
Oh, it's the dead guy in the corner.
The dead guy in the
But he does cut his fucking foot off.
He does. And he like... climbs his way out of the room.
That guy in the corner had the key the whole time.
Right, and he really wasn't injured. He was faking it.
Well,
and then
he shot him.
Right, and then he was like, no, Kiri, you're not going anywhere. Princess Bride can't save you. There was just nothing in between.
So I had a couple more. I had I had the James Franco movie, 127 Hours.
Oh, that's that movie just is excruciating.
Did you ever see that?
Okay, yeah, I tried.
I watched it.
I tried.
Okay. It was,
Rocket's getting upset.
Me too, Rocket. Me too. When I think about James Franco stuck between two rocks for 127 hours talking about
cutting movie's
not
that
long. Part of that.
I know, but it feels like it.
it was based on a true story,
right?
And he actually does
and
cut
I
his fucking arm off.
And I feel bad for that guy, but that's what he gets for going outside the first time. Nobody told you to do anything besides mow your lawn, buddy. Like, nobody told you to go outside and go rock climbing for fun without a friend or buddy system. We learned that in middle school. Buddy system.
The buddy system?
Buddy system. You don't go rock climbing alone. You don't go on outings alone. If you did, you wouldn't end up in those.
That's why I never watched that movie.
Rock in a hard place kind of situation.
It's just too much.
I know. You'd rather watch James Franco lead the monkeys to victory.
Hey, I like the Apes movies. That's no one coming out.
The first one's fun.
It's fun. It's okay.
It's fun. I'm not a huge fan of James Franco. I just, you know, he wasn't the Oz that thrilled me. I didn't have any empathy for him having his arm caught between those two rocks. I was like, Pothead, what are you doing outside?
No one gets it.
I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Jason, did you have any others?
What? Oh, yeah. Hey!
Were there any other runner-ups
welcome to DMC.
Besides James Franco?
We are talking with Nadia.
Nadia.
And Nate, live from the house.
From our kitchen. Kitchen, dining room area.
I think that's about it. That's about it for our DFC.
We touched our top five. We touched our movie topic.
We touched each other.
And ourselves.
Hopefully we touched you, too. But thanks for listening to Drunk Film Commentary.
Drunk Film Commentary.
Swallow your souls. Swallow your souls.
Boy, she sure knows how to rock. She's nuts.
Yay. I guess you're good. If anyone's still listening, who's still listening? If you are, hit us up on email at drunkfilmcommentary@yahoo.com.
And on the Facebook.
You can find us on the Facebook. Like our posts. That'd be great.
And Instagram.
Hey, if you can give us a review on iTunes or whatever podcast provider you have. Google Play doesn't have reviews or ratings or anything like that. I wish they did.
We just let anyone out there.
Yeah. Well, no, because there's some podcasts that I like that aren't on. The Penn & Teller guy. He has a podcast from Vegas.
Which one?
The one that talks. Because it's a podcast.
Penn?
Yeah. But it's not on Google Play. I used to listen to him when I had iTunes on my iPod. And now I can't listen to him, but so he's lost because, you know, I'm a great listener.
You are.
But you can find us on Facebook, find us on Instagram.
Where else? If we wanted to give you a dollar for how hard you work,
I'll take your fucking dollar.
Where could I give you a dollar, Jason?
That would be at Patreon.com.
Patreon.
Yes, it's a website that is designed for you to give me money.
To help you have a better drunk film commentary.
It's a subscription service where you can sign on and give a buck a month and just, you know, help us out. You got a dollar burning a hole in your pocket, get rid of it, give it to us. It'll go to our beer, keep us drunk, keep us talking about movies, keep us entertaining
movies
you for free.
That you love.
For free, free entertainment. Throw us a buck, you cheap bastard. If you want to be like extra cool, you can throw us a $20 donation through Patreon, and you can pick the movie.
Pick the movie.
We will bust out the movie.
What we talk about.
And we won't have Nate on that because Nate doesn't talk at all.
He's
we'll get
grounded.
Someone that talks. So he's in the bathroom now, so we can talk shit about him. But that's it. Find us, Drunk Film Commentary. Review, like, follow, fucking donate, all that bullshit.
Try it again next time. Every movie is an adventure.